I'm going to read in a moment from the Bible. So if you do have one in the pew, there are some. It'll also appear on the screen. You can find it. I'm going to read from a book called Isaiah. And these words were spoken and written down 700 years before Jesus was born. So that's 2,700 years ago from now, and some of the words we're going to read are very famous. We normally hear them at Christmas time. Isaiah the prophet, this man, was speaking good news about a child that was going to be born. And what we're going to be focusing on is one of the names that Isaiah gives to this child. And that name is Almighty God. So we're going to read Isaiah 9, verses 1 to 7. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Amen. May God bless to us the public reading of his word. Now, at Christmas time, we celebrate the fact that Jesus came into the world, and one of the ways that we do that is we give people gifts, don't we? Does anyone expect any gifts at Christmas time? Well, I'm going to show you a gift that I was given by my mum and dad when I was quite a bit smaller, a Lego castle. Incredible. And I used to spend many hours playing with this. I mean, we've got all these like knights, you see them there, and then we've got some guys with bow and arrows, a guy with a big axe, a couple of spare horses in there, another guy there with a sword, all these people. And I used to have the goodies fighting against the baddies. You can see the baddies there. They're the ones that are dressed in blue. Can you see them? The baddies there. And so we have the goodies and also the baddies. We used to have lots and lots of battles. And there's a dungeon actually inside this castle somewhere. And let's just say those guys have spent a lot of time in that dungeon. That's all I'm going to say. To learn the error of their ways. Well, 700 years before Jesus was born, God's people were at war. And this wasn't a plaything, this wasn't a game. This was the reality that they faced. They were at war. And God's people, and the king at the time was King Ahaz, they had two kings that were against them. Now, when I used to play with my Lego castle, like I say, there's only two people here that are baddies, and all the rest are goodies. So let's just say the goodies always won, because these bad guys were pretty much outnumbered. But whenever God's people were at war, there were two kings who had massive armies, and the kings were called King Pekah and King Rezin. They were their names. And those two kings were at war against God's people. And they were totally outnumbered, God's people. These big armies that were against them were just huge. It wasn't like when I had the goodies and the baddies and there was way more goodies. There were way more baddies. God's people were in a situation that was too big for them. They just couldn't deal with it. They had these two kings and their mighty armies fighting against them. Now, sadly, some people I know at school get bullied. And I don't know if you can like picture the scene of a bully who's maybe a couple of years older than the person he's picking on with all his mates. And he's against this one poor little guy. That's a bit like what it was. These two big, strong, powerful armies fighting against God's people. God's people were terrified. This is what we read. This is what was written about them. The hearts of Ahaz, that was the king of God's people, and his people were shaken as the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind. They were terrified because they knew that they were going to lose. They were in a situation that was just way too big for them to handle. Yet, God sent a messenger called Isaiah to God's people with a message of good news and hope. Now, I grew up on a farm. And on that farm, we had some cows, E-I-E-I-O. And on that farm, we also had some sheep, E-I-E-I-O. And with sheep, you also have a sheepdog. And my dad's actually here this morning, so you can check this out with him after. He used to whistle for this sheepdog. And if you wanted it to sit down, he'd go, and it'd sit down. If he wanted it to come to him, he'd go, and it comes here. If he wanted it to go right, he'd go. If he wanted it to go left, he'd go. No, that might be wrong, that one. All the rest are right. You can check with my dad after. And this sheepdog would do exactly what he whistled some of the time. And it would run around the sheep, and all he'd have to do was whistle. Now, what's that got to do with God's people? Well, God's people were outnumbered, outmuscled, surrounded by enemies. Yet the prophet Isaiah said this to God's people. In that day, the Lord will whistle for flies from the distant streams of Egypt, and for the bees from the land of Assyria. What does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. Even though King Pekah and King Rezin were big, mighty kings, there were some bigger, more powerful people, and that is the Egyptians and the Assyrians and the Babylonians. They were super big, strong armies. And if you think Rezin and Pekah are big kings, just wait till you see the Assyrians. They're even bigger and stronger, and there's more of them. And what Isaiah is saying is God can just whistle, and those armies will come running for him. What a powerful, mighty God who can just whistle and make these big, strong armies come and deal with these other bad kings. What a mighty God. In fact, he says this in the Bible. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He directs it like a watercourse wherever he pleases. So do you want to know how mighty God's people's God is? He's got the heart of the king in his hand, and he can just make the king do whatever he wants. If he wants the king to come, the king of the Assyrians to come, he just needs to whistle. And that's exactly what he will do. So why are God's people scared? Why are they scared when they've got a God like that? What great news. God is a mighty God, so they don't need to fear. They don't need to fear King Rezin. They don't need to fear King Pekah. But are you ready for some super bad news? Those two kings were not God's people's major problem. They have a bigger problem. And the bigger problem was not those kings. It wasn't any army. The problem was, I wonder if you can guess what it was. The problem was themselves. They didn't trust God. God said, this is what I'm like. I'm a mighty king. And they didn't believe him. God said he was ready to help. But they didn't trust him. They wouldn't take him at his word. They wouldn't believe him. And sadly, this people continued not to believe God. And God whistled. And the mighty Assyrians came and they destroyed King Pekah and King Rezin. But then God whistled again and the Babylonians came. And the Babylonians came and carried many of God's people off to Babylon, because they didn't trust God or take him at his word. That is really bad news, isn't it? That's a really sad story. But it's not the end of our story. If you have a Bible, please open it again to Isaiah chapter 9. Because in Isaiah chapter 9, we see some very good news. In Isaiah chapter 9, if you've got a Bible, just look down at verse 2, you'll see that the prophet's message is that for people in darkness, there is light. Why? Because they will have freedom, verse 4. They will also know a time when the war is over, verse 5. Why? Because of verse 6. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. See, God is a God who doesn't just rescue his people from situations like this when there's a big war going on. God is a God who rescues people from their greatest problem, which is the problem of our unbelief. God is a God who was sending his Son into the world, Mighty God, to rescue people who do not believe in him. Jesus, when he was born, he was placed in a feeding trough. And even though he was in a feeding trough, some wise men came. And they came to Jerusalem and they asked a question. The question they asked was, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? When they found Jesus, these wise men bowed down and worshipped Jesus. Why? Because they recognized that he is Mighty God. This small baby in the feeding trough, they recognized that he was Mighty God. And this baby, Jesus, would grow into a man. He would do mighty works. Why? Because he is Mighty God. He would heal the sick. He would cast out demons. He would raise the dead. He would do things that you and I simply cannot do. His disciples would describe him like this, as being mighty in deed and word. His enemies and skeptics would say, how are such mighty works done by his hands? All these things pointing out to us the identity of Jesus. He is the Mighty God, the one who can whistle and move a nation. But Jesus' greatest act, it wasn't walking on water, it wasn't healing the sick, it wasn't casting out demons. Jesus' mightiest act was defeating sin, death, and Satan. Now, I brought another present this morning, and this one's in my back pocket, and I can't remember if I got it for Christmas or my birthday or something. Everyone loves a good head torch, don't they? And the other day, I just had this. I was reading in bed, so I put my head torch on. And on the back of this, it says something really quite profound. Access the inaccessible. That's what it says on the back of my head torch. Access the inaccessible. And it's the idea that when there is darkness and you can't see what you're doing, it's inaccessible to you. So you turn the light on and all of a sudden you can see what you're doing. That's pretty much a great illustration of Jesus. He enables us to access the inaccessible. Our big problem is not an invading army. It's not Brexit. It's not what we're facing this Christmas time. It's not our poor failing health. Our problem is we do not have access to God. He's inaccessible to us because of our unbelief. Yet Jesus is the one who comes to give us access to the inaccessible. He is the Mighty God who brings light into darkness, the one who reveals God, the one who deals with the consequences of our unbelief. And so this morning, we all have a choice to make. As we think back to my Lego castle, we have this idea of goodies and baddies. We all have a choice to make. And that choice is, which kingdom are we part of? Which side are we on? Because there is only one eternal kingdom, and that is the one where Jesus is king. And if we are people who take Jesus at his word, believe what he says, he gives us access to the inaccessible. He takes us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Now, God's people, they sided with their feelings. They sided what they could see with their eyes rather than what God said. But this Christmas time, God has done full disclosure. He reminds us that he came to planet Earth in the flesh so we could know him. the mighty God, the warrior king. And he wants us to trust him, to follow him, and to receive life from him. Our final song says this in one of the verses. Through the kisses of a friend's betrayal, he was lifted on a cruel cross. He was punished for a world's transgressions. He was suffering to save the lost. He fights for breath. He fights for me, loosing sinners from the chains of hell. And with a shout, our souls are free. Death defeated by Emmanuel. Have you received the greatest gift? Forgiveness, freedom, rescue by receiving Jesus. That's what Jesus offers us all this morning. And if you want to know more, I'd be very glad to talk with you after the service.